Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve.
B-Tech Smith and Steve.
You are now entering the Megacast.
The Megacast.
Almost forgot our countdown thing. The Megacast. It's going to be one of those shows, Ted. I have that feeling. Welcome to the Megacast. Right over there, it's my buddy.
Oh,
what's going on
we're
here?
We're starting it again.
It's on loop. Son of a bitch.
Just a heads up, folks. This Megacast is going to be one of those casts.
I have a feeling and it's not going to be because of alcohol.
No.
It's not going to be that way because we're in the greatest of moods. It's because I think, well, Ted is definitely battling some kind of a funk.
Yeah, I got like a cold. I'd be calling it a head cold.
Yeah.
I even skipped the game last night. I pretty much did nothing all weekend. I mean, if you're going to get a cold, I guess the weekend is the time to get it.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, that's the time you can rest it off. It would be much more fun to have it when at work. I'd rather be sick at work than sick on my fun time.
Yeah, I go back and forth. Because right now, it seems like a good idea to be sick at, well, no. Now that I'm here at work, it seems like a bad idea to be sick here. Plus, I'm going to break the bad news, folks.
Yes.
The Megacast today, we were supposed to have on Dolph Ziggler.
That's right.
From the WWE. In fact, me and Steve sometimes change when we tape this podcast. This is a Monday episode. I was going to go ahead and cancel on it. I said, no, we're having Dolph Ziggler on.
Yep.
I got to be in there.
Yep. I watched SmackDown to make sure I was ready to go for this. I mean, okay, I would have watched SmackDown regardless.
But it gave you a legit reason to watch SmackDown.
My wife was okay with me watching it because I said, listen. All right, I said, hon, do you mind if I watch SmackDown? In my head it went, listen, woman, I'm watching SmackDown whether you like it or not. In reality, it was, hey, babe, we're interviewing Dolph Ziggler, and I'd really love the opportunity to at least watch the segments that he's in. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
All right, cool. So for those of you that did not, for all of you that were expecting Dolph Ziggler, which would be nobody since we didn't promote it.
Did we never say anything?
I don't think we did.
Did we just text about it?
I think we just texted about
it. All right.
Here's a little peek behind the curtain. Today, we were supposed to have Dolph Ziggler on, and we don't.
No Dolph Ziggler.
Nope, it wasn't happening. So, I guess what better way to get ready to go into the Megacast? As everybody knows, what we do here is we try and get everybody's heart pumping, their blood flowing, and their brain
functioning.
And the best way to do that is with some push-ups. So, Ted, today, our push-ups.
I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.
Wow.
To Dolph Ziggler's theme song. It made sense when I loaded it.
Dolph Ziggler's entrance music.
Right, so we're doing Dolph. All right, let's get 10, everybody. You ready?
Let's go.
Here we go. 1, 2,
we'll display the things
you 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Come on, Dolph.
We even have your song, Dolph.
I do like his song.
His song's awesome. He's not here to tell the Megacast.
He's not telling us crap, man.
Nope.
Make sure it's not on loop, Steve.
See, I don't think it is. Is it on loop?
I'm here.
Son of a bitch.
I'm here to
tell the world. Damn it. It is on loop. I found the button now. That's a man's toughest thing to find. All right, sorry.
Let's just get into it.
I blame Dolph. This whole Megacast is Dolph's fault.
Oh. Ted Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
Steve?
Is today's Ted talk about disappointment?
It should be now. No, I won't lie. This TED Talk was a little tough. I'm feeling a little under the weather. I was going to use the Sounders game last night as a stepping stone for this TED Talk. But today's intro is very poignant to what I was going to bring up, which is small details. Maybe it's just as simple as clicking the loop button off. Maybe it's just as simple as Dolph Ziggler chiming in. For the Sounders last night, it looked like they just needed a few tweaks to get to their maximum capacity as a team and as players. So that was just what I was going to say this week. It's just a, maybe like me, maybe you're fighting a cold or whatever. Just do a couple little things. Get back on there, man. Sorry, I don't have a ton for your TED Talk this week. Ted's feeling a little bad for himself. I'll be dead honest with you. Ted wants to go home and go back to sleep.
Yeah, Ted needs a nap.
Yeah. Ted, it's going to be a long afternoon for me.
Oh, man, that's right. You got a show to do still, the men's room.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those weeks, Ted.
Yeah.
Power up, though.
Power up. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Get some vinegar going. I'll be all right.
Yeah, dude, I love this. So yesterday, Ted's like, hey, man, I'm not feeling all that hot, but I'll be there for the megacast for Dolph. Speaking of Dolph, we got an email from the WWE. They're very sorry, and they found out last minute that Dolph's not going to be at the Seattle show. So they're hoping to reschedule another superstar on Thursday. But we don't do the megacast on Thursday.
Well, now this is really disappointing. Now he didn't even call in, and he's not going to be there?
And we even bleached our hair yellow for this. Not blonde, but yellow.
Right. And we don't have hair on our heads.
Right. It took a lot of work. We had to grow hair, and then we had to bleach it.
Wait, my back looks weird right now.
So Ted tells me he's not feeling all that good, so I give him what I felt was a great tidbit of information that my wife has been got me hooked on, and it's this organic, raw, unfiltered apple cider vinegar. And it's some brand called Bragg.
Yeah.
And so I send that
to Ted. They also have the great liquid aminos.
Oh, that's them.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm like, hey, Ted, I take like, I don't even know how much, not very much. It's like a couple teaspoons of it as like a shot. And my wife will mix it with a little apple juice or, you know, make it taste a little bit better. But it's still one of those.
Cut it a little bit for you?
Yeah, give it a little bit of a cut. It's still one of those things when you take a drink of it, my reaction every time is, like that kind of like. It's got that kind of tartness to it.
Yeah.
So I send that to Ted. I'm like, yeah, you should check this out. It's actually helped me a lot with not only not getting sick, but canker sores. I'm a person that deals with a lot of canker sores ever since I was a kid.
All right.
Anything and everything, like from tomatoes to eggs. I tried cutting all that stuff out of my diet, hoping that I would not get canker sores anymore. This is the first time where I haven't had one for a long period of time, and it's, I believe, because of this stuff. And I was talking to somebody here at the office about it, and they're like, oh, yeah, that stuff is... A lot of people who deal with canker sores get this stuff, and apparently it works really well for them. So I send it to Ted, and he goes, you're the third person to recommend that.
Yeah, maybe I should try it.
Yeah, I think it's time.
I banged down a shot of vinegar last night, but it wasn't the same brand.
It wasn't the apple cider vinegar.
It was apple cider vinegar.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, all right, I'll do a shot of it.
Let's see, how'd you like it?
You know, it tastes like doing a shot of vinegar. I don't know how to explain it other than it's like drinking liquor that doesn't get you drunk.
Right. It's nasty.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind it as much. I always dip my crab meat in vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I kind of like vinegar, but yeah, I was like, all right. But yeah, that apple cider, I've heard from a lot of people. Maybe I should start doing it.
Yeah, do it.
Whatever I did last week didn't work.
Yeah.
You can hear it in my nose.
So over the weekend...
Sorry, folks. We're supposed to be talking to Dolph.
Yeah.
We don't really know what to do right now. We're kind of in this weird zone.
Yeah, we had all these things prepared. I mean, you don't even know what kind of show we had prepared. All right, well, we were just going to interview Dolph.
I think the way to put it, Steve, maybe the most in-depth interview ever with Dolph Ziggler.
We even prepped. We had some talks about it before the interview.
Yeah,
We felt like something special was going to happen. If we had time, I would just write the guy and be like, look, grab whatever wrestler you have near you and just tell them to call in right now. We'll talk to them. Like, I was excited, you know, because we're excited. This weekend, the WWE is going to be at the Key Arena. We're going to be going.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're going, be sure to find us there. And that's Saturday night. And you can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
You wearing a MegaCast shirt?
I don't know what I'm going to wear. What were you thinking? Do we dare wear the MegaCast shirts?
I mean, we're there.
All right. Let's do it.
Yeah, we'll be the MegaCast. Like, all these guys have matching t-shirts with their faces on them.
Are you going to wear the... I have a yellow one. I could wear the yellow one.
You want me to wear the red one?
Or you could wear the yellow... I guess this is an offline conversation, huh?
Yeah, it is.
We'll have people vote. Let us know. Which shirt should we wear? Which color? Either red or yellow?
I only have the red, and I've never worn it.
You know, I just was rearranging my drawers where all my clothes go, and I came across our MegaCast shirt, and I was like, because I was trying to like filter some shirts out because I was running out of room in my drawer.
Yeah.
And I was like on the fence on that one. I'm like, am I ever going to wear this shirt, really? Probably not. But I want to keep it because it's our faces on it.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you. I don't know. Like, obviously, I haven't worn it anywhere, but it's got our faces on it.
I might have to bring a change of shirt just in case, though, if we end up going anywhere after that.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we really want to be walking around bars with our, although that could be awesome.
Right, because most people probably are going to have no idea that this podcast even exists, especially after this segment. Less people are going to know this podcast exists. But then they'll just be like, these guys love wrestling so much, they got t-shirts made where their faces are on the bodies of Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage.
We're doing it. The pictures alone are going to be awesome. Somebody's going to have to take a picture of us two with the ring behind us with our shirts on, doing the pose.
Yeah.
Plus, the handshake pose.
It's even more color coordinated if you have the yellow one and I'm wearing the red one.
Oh, I just don't know if yellow is very flattering on my physique.
Yeah. Oh, hey, look, man. We're wearing shirts with our faces on them.
I guess I can give it a pass.
Right? Don't worry. Your physique will look better next to mine.
Yeah. Right. You and I both, we're going to look great. Yeah, so you missed the Sounders match, and it was a
win. Huge win. So I watched it still.
I did, too. And what's the stat? Obafemi Martin, anytime he scores, they never lose.
Yeah, they're 20-0-0.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they haven't even had a draw on that. They've never lost when he scores.
And that was so awesome. I mean, I'm not. You're way more of a Sounders fan than I am. I'm a casual observer, but I keep getting. I feel like I'm becoming more and more of one because it's just a fun game to watch.
Sure.
The Dempsey goal to start things off was just like. I mean, just once he got the kick, the penalty kick, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. Is that what it's called? That
PK?
Penalty kick? Yeah. It was like, oh, this could happen, but man, things always go wrong in my head.
Yeah. I mean, if you allow me to geek out for a minute.
Please.
Which you should really be excited about.
Hold on. Dolph Ziggler's calling.
Dolph Ziggler. is that pass on the third goal from Papa?
Oh, yes.
That pass, he threads right in between there. And then Obafemi does great footwork and just dumps it off to Clint, who cleans it up and just kind of walks it in.
Yeah.
But that pass, come on. Like, even me just sitting on my couch by myself, I saw that pass. It was just like, oh, great ball, and just started screaming.
And that's like one of those moments, and that's what I'm finally starting to realize with soccer, is even if the goal wasn't scored, that's still an electrifying moment. You know what I mean? Like, whereas in most sports, you need the end result. You need the goal. You need the touchdown. You need the home run. But with soccer, it seems like even if it's a missed opportunity, the opportunity in itself was exciting.
Right. Well, because the goals are so rare that when you get one, it's such a big deal. Mm-hmm. But also, you watch enough football, you know, NFL. If you see Jermaine Kearse streaking up the sideline, you know you can hop up and be like, oh, he's going to get him.
Yeah.
So, that's what I like now is the city's getting to the point where people know enough about just casually watching Sounders to see, as soon as you see that ball through, it's a wrap. Keeper has no shot. Obafemi Martins could have just dribbled around him and scored that goal. But, I mean, as soon as that ball gets through that second layer, it's like, that's why I started screaming, this is going to be a goal.
A good start, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I like. They didn't change a ton. The biggest move they made was bringing in a new GM.
You're right. Okay, and then not having Yedlin. That's probably the
only... Yeah, and Yedlin's gone, right?
But other than that, I saw the stat. It was 11 out of the 12 main dudes is back.
Yeah, and Brad Evans moved over to center. He'll be all right.
He's following me on Twitter now. I feel pretty cool.
Brad is actually, I think he's a big fan of KSW.
It seems that way. Every once in a while, I'll post something and he likes it. And I'm like, I still get kind of excited about that.
Well, number one, he's a nice guy. Number two, he is dreamy.
Would I wink at him at the Super Bowl?
I think that would be a compliment to Brad, since right now your only previous winking has been at David Beckham.
That puts him on a different level.
That takes him from America's sweetheart, as I like to call him, to, I don't even know, European sweetheart status.
An international sensation.
International sensation, Brad Evans.
we talk about how I was geeking out about the fact that he follows me on Twitter. I had a geek out moment because of Twitter, and mainly because I proved my wife wrong over the weekend. So yesterday, the New Jersey Devils.
All right.
I'm a big Devils fan in the world of hockey.
Devils.
And they were celebrating.
What's the Devil's name?
I thought it was Mr. Devil, and it's just New Jersey Devil.
Oh, I prefer him being Mr. Devil.
Mr. Devil's Ken Danico. That's why I got that. He was a guy that played with the team basically from day one and then retired as a Devil. So And he's now the color commentator for their broadcast. So they had a big ceremony to celebrate the 20-year anniversary of them winning their first cup back in 1995.
All right.
Immediately makes me feel old because it's 20 years ago is 1995. I feel like 1995 was not that long ago.
What were you doing in 1995?
I was, 96 is when I graduated high school. So
all right, so you're still in high school.
I was in high school. I was sitting on my couch watching all the Devils hockey games.
95. Yeah, I think because I graduated in 99, so yeah, I would have just been in high school too.
Yeah, because I graduated in 96.
All right, so we're old.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. It's crazy to think. It was 20 years ago. So they're doing all this great pomp and circumstance. And I like, whenever I get excited about something that I want to talk about on Twitter, if it's something that's on TV, I take a picture of what I'm looking at on TV.
Yeah, I've seen you do that before.
Right. So I've taken a picture of a great shot of like all the players around the captain, Scott Stevens, the banner that says 20-year anniversary. I'm like, oh, this is a great shot. And it's on my Twitter page, at STP999. So I post it, and my wife's like, you're just so weird with you taking pictures of the TV. And she's like laughing at me. I'm like, I don't know. I just think it's kind of cool.
That's pretty common on Twitter.
Right. Fast forward 30 seconds to a minute later, the New Jersey Devils Twitter page retweets my tweet and says, oh. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, all 1,000 words of this picture is awesome because it was like such a cool moment. And I was just like, ha ha, showing my phone to my wife. She's like, okay, that's nice, dear. That's, you know, I'm thinking I win. Ha ha. But it got me just thinking, I'm like, man, I've been a fan of that team forever, since the 80s when they first started. Like 1985, I think, is when they first started. I probably became a fan in 86. And I was so obsessed with this team. All right, I'll quickly share this because I think it's just a funny piece of audio. And maybe we'll even talk more about just things that make us feel old. But I found this clip of audio, and I've played it on the morning show before, but I don't think you've ever heard it. Back when I was a kid, what made me fall in love with radio was that feeling of being on the air. I used to call a sports talk station at like midnight on weeknights during school. I would hide in my room. I'd sneak into my parents' bedroom when they were asleep, steal their cordless phone, go back into my room and just call and redial until I finally would get through. Here's apparently a very popular sports talk show because it was busy to get through even at like 1 a.m. And I would always bug them about the New Jersey Devils. Now, it's funny because now WFAN is the home station for the Devils, but back then they were the home station for the Rangers. So he would just get annoyed with me.
Yeah.
And eventually just hang up on me. And plus, I wasn't very good on the air when I'd call in, but, you know, it's overnights. I guess they just put whoever got through eventually on the air. So this is a weird piece of audio. This is me calling back in high school, and I'm calling to talk about a goalie that the Devils should call up to be their new starting goalie, and it's Martin Brodeur.
All right.
So this is before he was even a guy. I mean, for non-hockey fans, Martin Brodeur is kind of arguably the greatest goalie of all time. There's like, he'd be in the
Patrick
top five. Patrick Roy. And then Martin Brodeur are usually the two that are argued about. So here's that call, Ted. You haven't heard this, have you?
No.
Okay, this is classic, dude. You're going to hear the nervousness in my voice and the accent. It's coming through pretty strong.
All right.
And then at the end, just the sheer annoyance of the host, he just quickly gets off the phone with me.
Steve is calling from Brooklyn.
How you doing, Steve?
Morning, Steve.
I want to talk about when you talked to an earlier about a caller with Sean Burke and the Devils.
Uh-huh.
And you said that the best thing they should do is probably get a goalie.
Yeah, another goaltender for behind Terreri, one who can play.
I guess the best thing they could do is bring up Brodeur and try to work him in a couple of games.
And it would be worth bringing him up?
I think so. I mean, he proved that he could play, like, in the NHL caliber level.
Steve, thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, Bruce is calling.
Wow! Number one, you're right about Brodeur.
Who would have thought this stupid, like, teenage kid is nailing it?
And I always thought of you as Italian. You sound like a small Jewish boy from, like, from Manhattan there. What happened to my buddy Steve Migliori? Oh, hey.
Hey, yo. Oh, now I can hear you, hon.
You talked to an earlier about a caller with Sean.
Hey, Mazel Tov.
You sound like the kid from the skit on Saturday Night Live.
And I can't spit out anything I'm trying to say, man.
No, it's amazing, right? You can see how nervous, and you have the correct information, but you're like, yeah, I guess.
I'm just quivering. You can hear it in my voice. Like, it just keeps quivering. Ted, we got to take a quick break.
Yeah, man.
Okay, granted, that's not as good as Dolph Ziggler, but, you know, we're doing the best that we can. With the limited resources that we have, the Megacast will be back. Actually, you know, speaking of just that being 20 years ago, there's another thing that's going to make you feel old, Ted.
Oh, thank God.
All right, so I'm going to turn the tables
and
make you feel old, and we'll do that when we return. The Megacast will be back.
The Megacast with Lee Tech Smith and Steve will be back.
We're running about. This is what I really call a party now. Packed up a women. We are so busy these days. I mean, who's got time to make sure their gynecologist appointment isn't right after hot yoga? Hey, I'd love to step out of the shower and into the stirrups, but sometimes I have to go straight from the barn. That's why I carry Vabreeze Lady Spray. I used to be just like you, worried about driving to my exam after Mexican food and tight jeans with my heated seat on high, but not anymore. Now, when my doctor leaves the room so I can put on my paper gown, I just reach for Vabreeze. My favorite? Pumpkin Spice Lavender Cinnamon Rainforest. Vabreeze Lady Spray is also available in original fresh scent, cucumber cranberry puppy breath, and cookie dough. Hey, I know what you're thinking. Won't my doctor know I used Vabreeze? Yes, and she'll probably say thank you.
Vabreeze Lady Spray. Because you shouldn't have to plan your day around an appointment that you've only known about for a whole year, right?
These guys are young and crazy. The Megacast is back.
I want to sit out on the porch telling stories about my glory days when I'm pushing 80. How am I ever gonna get to be old and wise if I ain't ever young and crazy?
Oh, wait. B-Tech Smith is young and crazy, not old, white, Steve. Ha ha.
Bitch. I was just thinking it was funny. I was like, didn't we just say how neither of us are young?
I know.
It's like, these guys are young and crazy.
Yeah, we're just nuts. Ted's sick. Doesn't want to come into work.
One guy's bitching about a cold.
Another one's playing audio from when he was a young kid back in the early 90s. We were talking while we're in the middle of the break just about how you used to call radio shows as well. Because that clip that I played, I would call almost every night and get through. And he progressively got more and more annoyed with me to the point where he once told me I was never going to amount to anything in my life. And one time, like, his screener would put a ban on Steve from Brooklyn. Like, he's like, oh, no, dude, you've called too much. Like,
yeah,
you know, we don't want to talk about the Devils. It's not even our team. And I would then lie and say I want to call. I remember one time I said I want to talk about the New York Jets. I can't remember the quarterback that was the Jets quarterback at the time, but there was like some quarterback controversy, and I had all this spiel.
At the Jets?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll put you right through. And then they're like, Steve from Brooklyn. And I'm like, I said I wanted to talk about the Jets, but I actually want to talk about the Devils. And then I start talking about the Devils, and you get so pissed off at me.
Well, it's funny, too, because we get it now as we're on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all right, so I remember I'd call on sports stations. The Fan, by the way, in New York City, that was like one of the few massive sports stations.
Huge.
So, I mean, even as a kid, where I grew up outside of D.C., at nighttime, because AM stations have to turn down their dials, I could hear the Fan in my bedroom.
That I used to be able to hear it when I went up to college, you know, because at night, even though it was 6 hours away from New York City, we were able to pick up the Fan's frequency. Very faint, but still right. Kind of pick it up. Yeah,
yeah, you kind of manipulate it. So, like, same thing. There was a sports station in my town. I didn't call them every night, but I called a few times. And the only one I remember, like I called in, and it was probably, like, the afternoon show, right?
Right.
And the guy's like, all right, we're going to talk to Ted. And then finally after, he goes, Ted, how old are you? And I was like, you know, like, 13 or 14. And I remember, like, you know, like, they hang up, and they're like, all right, thanks for calling. And then you turn back on the radio, and the guy's just going, can we get an adult? Can we get an adult to call in today? That's all I'm asking. And the guy, like, is having a breakdown. Just like, what is with the children? No offense, children, but, like, can we get an adult to call in?
Oh, my God. Dude, to be a fly, at least that guy handled it on the air. I can only imagine that the reaming that Steve Summers gave his phone screener when they go to a break. Like, come on. How many more times are you going to let this Steve from Brooklyn kid through to talk about the Devils? It's the summer. The hockey's not even going on.
Yeah, and people, right. And then later, I worked at a small AM sports station in Baltimore. And yeah, man, there's some people that would call in every day. You know, we'd have an hour long, because the show was 5 hours, right?
Right.
So we'd spend an hour in June talking about the NBA Finals. And there was just like one guy, kind of like Steve from Brooklyn, that would just call in and it's like, well, what about the Ravens, this and that? And it's like, come on, man. Like, we're trying here. Like, we got to move topics.
Right, we'll talk about that in a few months.
That, I remember, like, because they're adults and we were children calling in, but they can't help but give you a real reaction.
Right.
It's like when Maryland was playing Florida State, and Florida State joined the ACC, I said, you know, I'm going to the game later today. You know, probably more like, I'm going to the game later today. You know, and I remember the guy was like, who got you a ticket? And I said, oh, my brother or somebody. He says, you got a nice brother. Maryland's going to get their ass beat.
It definitely, whenever I hear it, we have sometimes a couple, this one kid, William, who's like, since he was 11 years old, he's been calling our show. And every time he calls, I think immediately of the time I used to call in. And it's like, as much as I like a Toppy, gets real annoyed with him, but I'm just always, I just get a kick out of it because it brings me back to that. Because I don't know about you, but do you, that high of when you know that you're about to go on the air is really, I don't know, there's many things that are very equal to that. I mean, I'm sure there are for other people, but for me, when I hear that, and that was like the sound that they made when they engaged your phone line, meaning you're next up. Like, he's about to say, Steve from Brooklyn, you're on the line. And it's like just that adrenaline rush. And clearly I didn't handle it all that well because I just stammered through the entire call. But, you know, and I like to say I got better over time, but I don't think I did. Because yeah. I'm also trying to talk quiet because my parents are asleep, like two bedroom doors down.
Sure, I mean, this has to be in the middle of the night, right?
This is like 2 a.m, sometimes 3, and I got to go to school the next day. And I'm up all night. And it was like myself and one of my other buddies, Chris, was also, and it was like a contest to see who could get on the air more. Like, we were constantly like, I'd hear him on the air, and I'm like, ah, son of a bitch. And then I have to go run into my parents' room and get their cordless phone and be like, I can't let him beat me out on this.
Yeah, it's funny, like, some of those things I don't think about, like, working in radio now, but it's the truth. Like, when I went to community college, like, everybody's like, what'd you take? Like, I don't know. I would just sit in my car and listen to the radio. When I said, I think the only class I ever went to that I liked was a speech class, just because I knew I could do good at it.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's funny.
Yeah, seriously. And I would just sit in my car, especially when I went to like PG the first year.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would just sit in my car and like I knew what time my cousin Tom's classes would get let out. So I would just kind of walk over to where I thought he might be coming out of the building and be like, what up, Tom? So I would still physically drive there. I just didn't like sitting in class.
That's one of the more unique experiences I think I could have ever been told right there.
Is that weird?
It's different.
I guess I just felt like I was still, like, I was going there, so it seemed okay.
How was your day? Well, I just waited in the car until I knew Tom would get out of class.
Yeah, yeah. Ate a lot of McDonald's. Hey, they got a great breakfast there.
I know that all too well.
Right.
I mentioned before we go to the break, because that's definitely a moment where I felt old yesterday. Even my wife kind of felt old. Not that she's old. You know, she's like 28 years old. I think I remember. 1987 she was born. So even she was like, 1995 was 20 years ago. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah.
And I came across a list of things that are going to turn 20 this year.
All right.
And some of them are pretty like, damn, it was that long ago that it debuted. Like, for instance, remember the Macarena?
Sure.
20 years ago.
Macarena.
Do you remember how to do the dance? It was like,
I think, I mean.
Shoulder to shoulder, hip, hip. Then what?
Hands out. Hands out.
Yeah, I was never.
Flip them over.
I couldn't do it.
Got to cross and then get to the hips.
Hey, I know the part where you clap and you spin.
Yeah, there's a clap and a spin.
A couple of game systems, Nintendo 64 and the PlayStation.
Right. PlayStation, the original PlayStation.
Yeah.
That's funny. I have a PlayStation 3 and it's so old and out and antiquated.
Right. Remember, like, it's like now, it's like I have an Xbox 360. I'm like, yeah, I got the 3. And everyone's like, oh, you don't got the Xbox One.
You don't got
an
Xbox One, yeah.
Right, or the X-Bone or whatever they call it.
Oh, the X-Bone.
You know, X-B-O-N-E. X-Bone.
I've never heard that term. I like it.
I work with a bunch of nerdy guys. They know all the lingo, and everything gets shortened because Xbox One takes too long to say.
So you got to call it the X-Bone.
What's up, X-Bone? O.J. Simpson trial, 1995. If it doesn't a fit,
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey,
Johnny
if
Cochran.
It doesn't a fit, it's a quit.
I remember being freshman in high school, that ruling comes down.
Yep.
And out of the back corner, you could hear people in the parking lot. Juice is loose.
I remember it was on my birthday that the October 3rd, I'll never forget. It was October 3rd when they finally made the verdict.
All right.
And announced, and we were, I think, a freshman in college, and our way of doing news on our college radio station. I called my buddy who was in the dorms, and he had like NBC, and he put the phone up to the NBC broadcast, and I broadcast that on our college radio station, which is probably very illegal.
I was gonna say, there's no way that was legal.
No, but that was our way of doing, all right, let's check in with my buddy Tom, who's at our dorm room. And he'll give us the update on what's going on. And I'm
like,
Tom.
Little did people know it was Tom Brokaw.
Yeah. George Foreman Lean Mean Grilling Machine 20 years ago.
That's amazing. That thing dominated for so long.
That changed his whole life. I mean, honestly, like, yeah, we now know he's... Many people, of course, knew he was a boxer. I know you watched the NBC boxing event.
I did.
I saw it on your Twitter. Was it good?
It was great, actually.
I was kicking myself that I missed it.
No, it was pretty darn good. The fights were good. Adrian Broner, he is a problem.
Yeah.
Calls himself the problem.
The problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he had a good match then, I would imagine.
He did.
Or a good bout.
A good bout. The last couple rounds, he kind of just danced around the ring and took time off.
Uh-huh.
So the guy was like, he said he was going to stand in here and bang with me, the blah, blah, blah. And like Broner just says things to get people very agitated, but I agree with him. He said, look, I already won the fight. I was kind of protecting it.
Yeah.
And then he said, they said, is there anything else you want to say? And he goes, well, it's NBC. So, you know, anybody that wants it can get it. Africans, Mexican. And they went, all right, thank you, Adrian. And took the mic from him.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why he calls himself the problem. Like, the interview seemed fine, and then it's like he couldn't let it get away.
No.
He had to say something.
An agenda, and he was going to get to it.
Yeah, and his name was all sparkly on the back of his shorts. It was like bedazzled.
Would you go fully bedazzled, like over the top trunks, or would you go like Iron Mike Tyson, just all black, if you were boxing?
I don't know. That's a tough call.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'd probably end up going just kind of standard, all black, like Mike did, but yeah. I mean, Adrian Broner, they look cool on him. There's no way I could wear those trunks, man. I mean, seriously, Steve, it was all bedazzled in the front.
What about on Saturday, man? You don't want to wear a bedazzled trunks?
That's the problem in the front. If I show up in anything bedazzled, just feel free to be like, is that everything all right? Everything good?
I'll probably be like, I don't know what you're on, but I want some of it.
Right.
If you think that's a good idea, I need to know what you're doing. A couple other ones. This one's kind of interesting. The first match on Match.com. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Huh. All right.
The world's completely changed. 20 years ago, remember it was like such a... I think it's still there, but there was such a stigma against internet dating. More so now then than now, of course.
Yeah. That's a whole stupid conversation anyhow.
It is.
I'd rather meet people in real life. I'd rather, you know, you shouldn't do it all. It's like, hey, who gives a crap? If you can meet somebody, meet them.
Right. Even now, sometimes people are like, like they say it kind of sheepishly. Like they're like, yeah, we met on the internet. Like, so? Like that's how we predominantly do all of our communication now.
Right. And who are you getting judged by? These two people that met in a bar getting wasted?
Right.
Like, don't take S from them.
Who got wasted, he knocked her up, and they got married because of it, and they hate each other now.
Right, exactly. But yeah, you're right. You should feel bad because you used a dating website to find your girlfriend.
Right, almost like it's like you're doing a full background check on somebody before you start dating them. But bad person.
Yeah.
This one didn't happen 20 years ago.
And married people, stop asking single people about Tinder.
Tell me more about this Tinder.
Can I hear more about the Tinder? Like, nobody cares more about Tinder than goddamn married people.
Right.
They're obsessed with it.
I'll tell you why, because it didn't exist.
Like, I know.
As a married man, I look back on all the things that I got to enjoy, like take advantage of, like MySpace and even a little bit of Facebook. But more,
sure.
MySpace was the ultimate. Like, that's...
MySpace was gold.
Yeah. If it wasn't for MySpace, I probably wouldn't have gotten laid as much as I did. You know, during my single days, it was the ultimate way to, it was great. But then, like, my buddies, when I was married, then all of a sudden Plenty of Fish came out and they're telling me all about that. I'm like, whoa, could you imagine? You know, it's like, it's just the grass is greener kind of mentality. And now it's Tinder and I see all my buddies are like, oh yeah, you can just go here. And, you know, I'm thinking about all the times that I would go to like work conventions when I was single. And it was so like, oh, I wish I had somebody I could just kick it with, you know, other than my coworkers. And now there's websites that make that possible.
Yeah.
So it's it. Yeah. But I understand as a single dude, it's probably like, okay, great. Married person that I don't need to explain to you why it's awesome to be single.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing, these people still have to be attracted to you.
That's a good point. So, it's not like you're just getting laid because you swipe something.
Right. So it's like, what about Tinder? You know, it's like, you know, some people try Tinder and really didn't have much success. Maybe you should stop asking them about it.
I don't know who that person is.
I'm just saying, man.
Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler, you show off.
But it was 18 years ago today, Ted.
The first match.
That was 20 years ago.
Oh.
18 years ago today, I'm going to make you feel old. That something happened. I know you're a big Biggie fan.
Come on. That makes sense. 96?
18 years ago, this is the 18th anniversary of his death.
Today?
Today.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What is today, the 7th?
I don't know. But I saw it on the internet.
All right.
Today is...
the 11th.
The 10th.
The 10th. I have no idea what day it is or when Biggie died.
Today is the 9th.
Jesus. What is his death date, Steve?
Yeah, it was. He was gunned down 18 years ago today, and man. I thought this is actually a pretty cool way to. We can listen to a little bit of this for you, Ted.
Come on. We on it. This, of course, would be after Life After Death, his second album. Full feature release.
Well, in the song, Hypnotize, there's a part where he says, escargot, my cargo.
Right. 360.
How about this restaurant today has decided to celebrate his life by creating a Biggie-inspired meal. It's a six-course dinner.
Oh, can I guess?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, obviously, the escargot is going to be on there.
Right. Butter poached escargot is the third course.
All right. Is there a T-bone steak?
I don't see a T-bone steak.
Is there any cheese eggs?
No.
Oh, see, I was thinking his other lyric, you know?
It's got, the first course is spiced tomato soup.
All right.
Because from his line, V8 juice drinking, slim fast blending, and then cracked pepper jerk crab and lobster toast. I guess it's from one of his other songs. Curried oxtail patties, pickled scotch bonnet, I would imagine, and ginger relish.
Those are not lyrics from his songs.
But they're
inspired.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, when did he work in pickled relish?
Pickled scotch bonnet and ginger relish, Ted. Get it right.
Yeah, what was he rapping about? Crab and lobster toast? I mean, I could fathom the man talking about lobsters.
Well, let's understand that this restaurant's charging $85 for this, so it's got to be some of that fancy food.
Yeah.
And then also a goat milk cheesecake, strawberry jam, cola caramel.
Well, I mean, it sounds delicious.
Yeah. Well, there you go. If you go to New York, there's a place today that you can eat all this. But you're right. Some of it's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But, you know, anything to get... I don't even know the name of the place, so clearly they didn't do a good enough job.
Well, he has like a famous line about eating eggs, a steak, and Welch's grape. That's what I just assumed that was going to be in there.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd eat that in a heartbeat.
I will say, I had escargot for the first time last year.
Yeah.
Purely from that line years ago. And I was like, I got to try it because I can.
That snail.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It's weird because they're kind of green and the sauce is green.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I called them land shrimp.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I think it's like when we go eat sushi, I never get eel. I've had eel sushi.
Unagi.
Yeah. And it's delicious. I just can't get past the fact that it's eel.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things that psychologically my mind will not let me enjoy it, so I just never get it.
I think it's sometimes like when you eat a piece of nigiri,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's on the little thing of rice, you're like, yeah, it's raw fish. But if you eat just sashimi, then it's like, well, I'm just eating a big piece of raw fish.
Right.
Now it seems really fishy.
Yeah, right. The rice is just completely, like, just tempered it a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I did want to share something kind of weird that happened over the weekend.
All right.
And it involves somebody who passed away in my life. And I've had this happen before where it almost feels like, I don't know if you believe in signs or things that kind of make you kind of feel a little bit more at ease about somebody passing, but I've had some weird experiences in the past about it. And I had one over the weekend with this person that passed away. And it's all because of a television show, a sitcom, that helped put me at ease about their passing. It's very weird.
All right.
And I'll explain it to you when we get back. The Megacast will return. Woo!
You might not see heaven tonight, but you will hear the Megacast again. Ted and Steve will be back.
Do you want to see heaven tonight? Underneath those lights, you would look so beautiful. Do you want to Crowdfunding, like GoFundMe.com, is a cottage industry in America. And if you're lucky enough to have a sad story, like the guy in Detroit who walked 21 miles to work every day, you could make a fortune.
But my story isn't all that exciting. What can I do?
You can start your own crowdfunding campaign with iBeg.
What do I need to do to get donations from iBeg?
All you need for your own campaign on iBeg is a mediocre to pathetic story and no sense of shame.
Oh, that's easy. Can't afford to go on spring break with BFFs. Can you help?
Upload a sympathetic pic.
Selfie with my kitten.
Then sit back and wait for gullible people to send money your way.
$1,500 in 2 hours. Cancun, here I come.
iBeg. Finally, a slightly more dignified way to beg for money than standing on a street corner with a cup. Log on to iBeg.com today.
All day.
Megacast.
All day. How long you can spot? All day. How much time you spent at the mall? All day. How many runners do you got on call? All day. Twist. How long they keep you in call? All day.
I'll tell you what I can't do all day. I can't listen to this song. This is total. The Megacast is back.
Wow. Guess she doesn't like Kanye.
Wow, I thought a lot of people liked the new Kanye.
I like that song.
So did I.
Well, not Grace.
Great, you know, Grace is hot and cold, man.
Yeah, things that I expect her to dig, she doesn't.
No, and then she throws just a curveball at you sometimes and is really into something odd.
Yeah.
We won't get into that, but you know what I'm saying. And it's illegal in Montana.
So I teased before we took that break about how somebody in my life passed away. This woman by the name of Margaret, she was a member of my church that I go to in Gig Harbor. And I didn't know her all that well, but I knew her well enough that she was always very nice to me. So I liked her. You
nice.
Know what I mean? Like, especially when I first joined the church, you know, it was my family's church, my wife's family. And, you know, it's a Seventh-day Adventist church. And all reports I've always heard about Seventh-day Adventists are very strict with their Christianity. So I'm like, oh, this could be, I might stick out like a sore thumb because I'm a guy with tattoos, you know, I'm on a rock radio station. And I
formerly a small, scared Jewish boy calling in about the Devils.
Quite possibly. My favorite team, which my pastor still gets a kick out of, is my favorite team is the New Jersey Devils. Every time he's like, favorite team's the Devils, right? I'm like, yeah, the Devils.
El Diablo.
Right. So she was always very nice to me, and I just thought, oh, she's just a nice old lady, you know, and then I find out over, especially now that she's passed away, she died at the age of, I think, 88 years old, and she was, I guess, a very, like, blunt person. If she didn't like you, she told you, and
right.
So I was like, wow, so she just liked me for me, and then joining my church, I what got me kind of hooked with everybody within the church is that I play drums. And they needed a drummer for one of the praise groups. So I played drums in it. And some old school Seventh-day Adventists would not like, I guess, drummers. They like the songs just to be hymns. They don't want any of the contemporary stuff. But the church I go to is very, I guess, it's more modern. Even though there's a lot of old people, they don't have that attitude like, oh, new music. No, stay away. Like, they're not just hymns and only hymns. So, and she would always pull me aside. I really liked your drumming. And I'm like, now looking back on it, I'm like, oh, she's a very blunt lady. That's pretty cool.
I can't imagine you're going crazy on this drum set either.
No, not at all. I'm keeping it kind of reserved. Every once in a while, like, there's some songs that have big builds, and I'm starting to feel it. And then my wife says I could see the rock version of you wanting to come out with the arms in the air.
And, that's the thing, is you're a very good drummer, and you get that arm going.
I'm feeling like the power of the gods just beating down on my drums. I don't do that. I don't want to be like the next YouTube sensation of the guy freaking out behind the kid at a church band thing.
The spirit is in him.
He's feeling, but there are times, I'll be honest with you, dude, I get caught up in the moment. Like, it's a very, I can't explain it, but like, there's just something about it. Like, you know, just knowing that you're playing these kind of songs and the effect that it's having on people that are watching, and it's there's some power to it. Like, you see people sometimes crying, and it's like, whoa, it's pretty heavy. So anyways, we go to her memorial, and it's an awesome memorial. It's actually very entertaining and funny. Like, everybody in her life, like, she was a doctor. She came over from China or somewhere, maybe Japan. I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly. But, you know, so she's an Asian woman, and they came over as immigrants, and she became a doctor, so did her husband. All their kids became doctors. I mean, it's a very successful family.
Right? Sounds like
it. But they were sharing all these great stories, but at times, the stories that they were sharing were like, you take your stereotypical thoughts about an Asian woman, and that's what they were talking about. Like, her daughter goes up and just shares, went on this great, it was almost like a stand-up. Like, she had us all laughing, and by the end of it, she had us crying, too. She did a great job. But talking about how terrifying it was to be behind, in a car with her. And, like, you know, just the type of driver that she was. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is hilarious. But one of the things that they brought up that I thought was really funny, she would share a story about how her mom was the ultimate haggler. She didn't care what it was. She never wanted to pay full price. Which I guess is like another joke amongst the Asian community that everybody's always trying to get things for cheaper than what it's being billed. Like, so they go into a store and it's like, how much? $500. I'll give you $250. Like, that was like, that's basically the joke that she was telling us up there at the memorial. So I'm like, it was kind of, you know, funny, heartbreaking, all that. We get home and I'm like still kind of internalizing everything. I'm like, man, it's just a bummer that she passed away. I was going to read you the poem, but it's kind of a bummer poem. But like, Margaret wrote a poem right before she died because she was also a poet. She was an author. Like, she was an amazing woman. And it's pretty heavy, and it's amazing. Like, it's just like she, there were so many times during like in the conversations with her that you're just like, whoa, this is a person that's deep in her spirituality and has like almost has the has the knowledge and the experience to be able to like stand by what she's saying. So I had this happen once before when my grandfather passed away, where we're driving to his gravesite where they were going to bury him. And we're all sad. And all of a sudden, it's like those moments that you call, I guess, signs, or like you have to like take it for something because you're like so sad and you just need something to kind of make you feel better. And he was a huge Yankees fan, and he was very proud of our country. He was like, even though he was from Italy, he came over on a boat. He was a proud American, like American shirts, American flags, American stickers. Like, he loved this country. So as we're driving, this limo drives right by us that's wrapped with like. And it's wrapped to look like a giant American flag, right? And I'm like, well, that's kind of crazy. Grandpa, you know, he loves him. And I'm like, ah, whatever. And as it finally gets in front of us, the back window's a giant Yankees logo.
Boom.
And I'm like, I don't know if this is a sign, but it sure as hell feels like one. So after the memorial, we go home, and I'm still kind of like, I'm still sad about it all. But, you know, even though we weren't close, it was still sad to know that somebody was so well-loved. So we're watching TV, and it's the most random of things. We just got hooked on this new sitcom called Fresh Off the Boat.
All right.
Which is basically a sitcom about this chef, Eddie, that's a big like Hollywood chef, Eddie Huang, and he wrote a memoir about his life. And now that show, his memoir is being turned into a TV show. So it's about this family that is basically goes from Chinatown in D.C., moves to Orlando, and the kids are trying to like adjust and kind of, you know, connect with people. And it's a sitcom. And it's also got the greatest intro ever to a show. And Eddie is a big fan of hip-hop music, so that's
nice.
Part of why I love the intro. It's just so ridiculous. So that night, we're watching one of the old episodes of this season.
I like you took it off the loop, too.
Yeah, I'm better, man. Dolph, you can't hold us back. And I thought this was just so crazy. So one of the episodes we're watching, the mom of the family is at a supermarket with her kids. And this goes down. And you'll remember what I just said earlier about like how Margaret was known for haggling. So here.
Excuse me, ma'am. You really can't loiter in the frozen food aisle.
I am not loitering. I am shopping. $4.99? I'll give you two.
The popsicles are a set price. They're not negotiable.
You're good. $2.50.
And I just thought that was so funny that, you know, what we just witnessed at the, and it's maybe me just looking for a sign to feel better about things, but I was like, well, that's kind of trippy that all of a sudden the thing that they're joking about at this memorial, the first thing we watch on TV is that.
Right. It's probably more common than we know. You know what I mean? You grew up in New York City. I grew up outside of D.C. So like, we just go to a supermarket, they're set prices.
Yeah, I would never think about haggling a price.
Right.
Some people love doing that. Remember back in the day of like buying cars?
Look, I love it with ticket scalpers, but that's a different environment.
Do you really?
Oh, it's one of my favorite passions in life.
I didn't know that.
You never seen me haggle with a ticket scalper?
Never.
Oh, dude, it's good.
Well, we got to do this sometime.
Yeah. Well, here's the whole
thing.
Let's
haggle some WWE tickets, yeah. Even though we got them.
Yeah, I don't care if I get in or not. So that's the big ploy. So you can really mess with the guys.
Right, when you have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what at the memorial her daughter said. My mom, I'm pretty sure, didn't even want these things. She just wanted to know she could get it for cheaper.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny, man. I'm the worst at that. I can't do it.
Really?
I get nervous. I don't know why.
Oh, man. We used to do it all the time at Maryland games. And then there's a few people around here who've been with me when I've done it for sporting events here.
Really?
I'm not as good as I used to be. But, I mean, me and my buddy Bernie had it down to an art.
Like, what would you guys do?
Just simple thing. All right, look. If you really want to haggle with them, here's my number one thing. Don't go to them early. You got to wait, right?
Right.
Because when it gets around game time, now they're pressing. So, like, the quickest advice I can give you, and the line I always like using, too, is, like, and you got to start out just stone cold, right? So let's say it's a college football game. You're maybe hoping to get them for $40 a piece, right? I'm going to offer them $30 for two of them,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's ridiculous, right?
Right.
You're right. That's insane. You know, it's like, yeah, good point. This game's kicking off. You feed your kid with those two tickets? What I'm offering you is $30. You can walk away with nothing or $30.
You bring the kids into this?
I mean, you got to, you know what I'm saying?
Wow, man.
You just got to remind them that that's a useless piece of paper now that this game is kicked off in their pocket. Now,
right.
do you want to get some money out of it, or do you just want to walk away with your pride?
Do you want
to? Hey, man,
your
take your pride. I don't mind. Right? So just techniques like that.
I can't believe you bring the kids into it, man. That's low.
Hey, this is a ticket to a game, man. Don't give me, sometimes it doesn't work. There's games I missed, but. Then you get a beer in the parking lot.
Has there ever been a time where you try to pull that, the guy just blows you off, and then you hit that point where you're like, I kind of want those tickets, so you go back to him with your tail between your legs?
I don't know if I've gone back to that guy, but I've definitely ended up paying a price I didn't want to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's very
so
few
you want
times.
Your kids to eat.
Yeah, well, it's just the truth. What are you going to do with that ticket now? It's now valueless to him.
Right, yeah. Once the game starts, it is. It's just a piece of paper.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. You should, like, me, my brother, Bernie, Coach Freda, it was a thing. We loved haggling
That's
tickets.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was always like a game to see how far you could get into the stadium with your ticket.
Ted, we got a tweet on at the Megacast. And
all
this
right,
person
all
right. asked the question, when it comes to your job, what do you hate? What do you hate about people? And it's all written weird. When it comes to your job, what do you hate about people asking you? And they've sent us a link, so I kind of understand what they're talking about. It's a link to the story about the 12 things to stop saying to radio, to people in radio.
All right.
And it was written by a woman by the name of Jillian. And they'd be kind of fun to go through because, you know, some people are very intrigued by our jobs. And even at church, we were at potluck. And when I mentioned this new family we were sitting with and they found out what I did for a living, it was like eyes lit up. Like, oh, I have a million questions. And I enjoy it because it's a great icebreaker. But I know there are some questions that I think we would all agree are, okay, enough asking this or statements even.
Yeah.
So let's see if some of these we could agree or disagree with. Jillian says, radio is a crazy industry, and I'm pretty sure one of the requirements of working in this field is to be a little crazy yourself. I don't agree with that. Very normal human beings here. however, below are a few things every radio DJ is just sick of hearing. And so Ted and I are going to be very honest with this. So please don't be offended if maybe you were one of those people that answered these questions or asked these questions. First one, you're so lucky. You get to just talk for a living.
Yeah.
Now she says, I'm grateful every day to have a job that's so unique and fun. You're right. However, much more goes into it than just luck, and it takes a lot more than keep just talking. As we see with this megacast, this takes a lot of skill and a lot of practice.
I mean, for me, I guess on that angle, the only thing that kind of gets to me sometimes is like, no, like I went to a little, you know, I went to a broadcast school for a few months. Like
right.
I interned, I worked my way up. People kind of have this impression that like, I'm sure you don't get it as much, but for me, sometimes you have this impression that I just kind of walked off the street and somebody just gave me a job.
Oh, no, I get it too, man.
Do you?
I mean, yeah,
all
I
right.
think it's just one of those things, especially when you're not your stereotypical DJ where you don't have like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think any of us are the type of person that just speaks perfectly, has
right.
the perfect voice or whatever it may be. So when people hear it, which is, I think, a feather in our cap that people feel that they can do what we do because they have a similar maybe they think the same, or they can kind of like connect with us in some way, shape, or form. But it goes in line with number two as well, where her line is, "I could have totally done my own radio show." That to me is, and she even says, it's the most backhanded way of implying that you're fully capable of doing what I do, but with zero experience.
Yeah.
It's like, I understand that it sounds like an easy job to do, but in all honesty, like it takes a lot of effort. Like, you can't just walk on. I mean, some people try it, and they don't usually last very long in this business. You can't just walk in moments before the show and do a show and then just be done with it. Like, there is preparation. There is an idea of what we're going to talk about. There's also chemistry. There's a lot of factors involved in doing a good radio show.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like thinking, right, you could just walk in and do anybody's job.
Yeah, and like she says, to assume you could just jump in and be a pro is insulting and ignorant.
Yeah.
Next one. How much do you make?
Oi. That's just rude in general.
I hate when anybody asks that question. It's like,
yeah.
I don't want to know what you make. I'm not going to tell you what I make. We're not all athletes. Our contracts are not put out there for everybody to know. And in fact, I really believe, and I maybe I'm in the minority, I think that most athlete contracts, I wish we didn't know how much they made. I think it would be a better world in the world of sports if we didn't know how much Russell Wilson makes or how much Marshawn Lynch is making. Because a lot of times, these athletes are battling for the right to say that they're the highest paid athlete. And that just screws up the salary cap, and everything goes downhill after that.
Yeah, I also sometimes, you know, I heard Andy Rooney say it years ago. Sometimes I agree. I think maybe it'd be better if we all knew what everybody made.
Oh, on the flip side.
Yeah. You know, like for me personally, I'm not going to say what I make because that wouldn't be good business-wise. But if, you know, if it was like athletes and we all knew what everybody was making, I think some of these conversations would be a lot different.
You could be, yeah, you're probably right. I mean, a lot of times when, I never think about it that way, but I mean, if you knew what everyone else that does what you do made, you'd know your worth.
Right. And not just that, I just think, too, also, you know, I find it insulting, especially when people want to talk to me about money, and I know what they do. I know how much more they make, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like, but you're lying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, look at your office. Like, I know what you do for a living. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you operate on people. Like, obviously, you have a lot more money than I do.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's where I think, I don't know. You know, it's like athletes. You know where you stand with them. So maybe if we knew everybody's salaries, we wouldn't have all this jealousy and all this crazy stuff going on.
How about this one? Can I get free tickets to insert show here?
Yeah. No.
Chances are no.
There's a good chance me and Steve didn't even get free tickets to that.
More often than not, when I first started in radio in the 90s, more often than not, my answer would be, yeah, we got a whole drawer full of them, because that's how radio was back in those days. But when the economy got weird, so did the ticket promoters and the record labels. Now, if I want to go to a show and I want to guarantee that I'm going to that show, I'm buying the tickets.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the answer to your question is no, we cannot get you those tickets.
Right.
I have a great idea. This one's funny, although I don't necessarily fully agree with it, because sometimes we do get great ideas from people who will email, text, whatever. But it just says, I have a great idea for your show. And her reaction, no, you don't. It's just funny. I thought that was just a funny way to react to it. What's your backup plan? What's your backup plan, Ted?
I don't have one.
Because, I mean, and she brings up a great point. This is my career. I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable. I decided to take on a certain risk and challenge in order to be successful and do something I love, but I couldn't live any other way.
Yeah.
Oh, and then one last one. Can you mention my business on the air? Of course, the answer is no. That's illegal. This one, want to host something for free? It's only a few hours. And like she brings up a point I was about to say, aside from charity events, assuming that I would always do my job for free is essentially saying I have no real value and either does my time.
Yeah. And sometimes, too, there's good events happening. There could be 10 of them on a Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes it's like people kind of get mad. It's like, look, man, I get that it's a good cause. It's just like I Saturday, man. Like, but am I not allowed to
have
a Saturday?
Right. No, that's a great point.
And just, you know, like, I'm not arguing that it's not a great cause. I'm on your team. I'll donate some money.
Right.
Just,
I kind of wanted that day to myself.
Yeah.
Then you're not a bad person for wanting that.
Right, exactly. And part of that, too, is like, you know, part of being an exciting person or trying to have good stories on the air is like, I got to go live life, too.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you got to get sick. Oh, this one's my favorite. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I never even listened to the radio. Sometimes, like, people, like, you, I don't know if you get this a lot, but sometimes you'll be like, oh, I we're going to read it, and then you say what station. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I never listened to your show. That's okay. I'm not going to get mad at you because you don't listen.
Right.
There's lots of things I don't do, but I don't need to tell somebody I don't do it. I just don't do it.
Yeah, the only other job I've seen like ours is lawyers. Like, if somebody says they're a lawyer, people already have opinions, and they're like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Plus, the other thing is, too, and I think it says it in the article, as soon as you say, hey, I don't listen to the radio, or you make a point of saying, I have no idea who you are, I know you know who I am, and that you've listened to the radio.
I've had that happen where somebody made it a point consistently to say, oh, I never listened to your show. And then every once in a while, there'll be like a little nugget that they'll bring up, and I'm like, how do you know that? Oh, I heard you talking about it the other morning. But you don't listen to the show. Oh, I was just, you know, flipping the dials and came across your, you know, and it's like, oh, come on, man. Like, do you think it's like there's people out there that just won't admit to it because they feel like as if, like, I don't know. People get weird, I think, with our gigs sometimes.
Like, I mean, yeah, I kind of get it. I just know for me, like, in our industry, you got to play it cool sometimes when you meet celebrities, but... Look, if I watch somebody's show, you know, I'm going to be dead honest with him and go, hey, man, I really like the show, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just I just don't understand that thinking. It's a little tough for me. Like, I get that you're uncomfortable, but why, you know, and that's just not my nature. I don't think it's your nature, Steve, to be like... Like, I just...
Like, I've got power over you now. You know, like, listen.
I just don't...
Buy me a beer.
Right. Like, oh, sorry, man. I just never... Plus, it's just kind of rude. Well, you know what I mean? Like, well, I work construction. Well, I hate construction. Never cared for it.
Right.
You know, I don't understand the
point
of it.
I don't even have a hammer.
Right? I've never seen a guy in an orange vest. I have no idea what this is about.
I had that happen when we were in Phoenix for the Super Bowl, and we ended up at the Phoenix Suns game with the bassist of Megadeth, Dave Ellison.
All right.
So I'm BSing with him, having a great conversation. I finally was just like, I'm just going to let this guy know I'm a fan of his. You know what I mean? Like, he's such a nice guy. I don't want him to think that... I don't know why I needed to share it, but, like, I didn't want to play it. Like, I felt like if I didn't, I was just trying to be too cool for school. So I just... I'm like, look, man, I just want to let you know. I love your band. I think I love the stuff that you guys have put out, and I think you guys are great. And his eyes lit up. Like, he went from being, I'm having a pleasant conversation with this stranger that I'm friends of a friend with, to... Oh, he appreciates what I do as an art and for a living. And I thought, and it was cool. You don't need to be too cool for school. You don't need to act like you don't care.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I get why people do it because they might be nervous or whatever. Just saying, for me personally, I don't understand it because that's just not, it's not the way I am. But
well, Ted, we got to get out of here. Big thanks to man. Dolph Ziggler for not joining us and throwing this entire podcast off.
Thanks, Dolph.
Heel Ziggler. Actually, I get why he didn't, but you know, maybe in the future we'll have some more WWE wrestlers on the MegaCast.
Hopefully.
But hopefully we'll see everybody on Saturday. We're going to be there.
And our color-coordinated shirts.
Look for the two guys in matching shirts. And until then, let's do this, Ted.
Ten more.
For Dolph.
That's so funny.
I know. What are the odds? We actually put some effort into this podcast. And it's all for nothing.
For not, Steve, for not.
All right, thank you for listening to the MegaCast. Find us on Twitter at the MegaCast. Let's get 10, Ted.
All right.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
That's for you, Dolph.
You know where we are. All right, Ted.
All right, man.
Regardless, Dolph or not, it's always fun hanging out with you. I hope you feel better.
Oh, thanks, Steve. I'm going to go drink some vinegar.
That sounds like some kind of like porn lingo. Another day at the job drinking that vinegar.
I do honestly feel like crap.
All right, well, we're sorry, everybody who listened.
See ya.
Because we both aren't. It's not our best effort.
We were half-stepping.
We're doing the best that we can, man.
Just end it, Steve.
Goodbye.